You are now going to listen to KAZI Book Review with Hopeton Hay.
In Faith and Struggle in the Lives of Four African Americans, author Randall Maurice Jelks chronicles the religious journeys of four famous Americans from the past. Ethel Waters, a singer and actress whose career spanned from 1917 to 1977 and is in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. Mary Lou Williams, a jazz pianist, arranger, and composer who performed from 1920 to 1980 and wrote and composed for Duke Ellington and Benny Goodman. Eldridge Cleaver, a political activist in the 1960s and 70s, an early leader of the Black Panther Party, and former world boxing champion Muhammad Ali, who shocked the nation in 1964 when he announced he had converted to Islam and changed his name from Cassius Clay to, ultimately, Muhammad Ali. In the book, Jelks examines their autobiographical writings, interviews, speeches, letters, and memorable performances to understand how each of these figures used religious faith publicly to reconcile deep personal struggles, voice their concerns for human dignity, and reinvent their public image. Randall Maurice Jelks is a professor of American Studies and African American Studies at the University of Kansas. Dr. Randall Maurice Jelks, welcome back to KAZI Book Review.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Dr. Jelks, the last time I interviewed you, it was about the legendary president of Morehouse University, Benjamin Elijah Mays. This time around, you're featuring the faith and struggles for four African Americans: Ethel Waters, Mary Lou Williams, Eldridge Cleaver, and Muhammad Ali. And so I wanted to know, what was it about these four African-Americans? What was the common thread that you found between them, besides their struggles and their faith, that led you to put them all together in this book?
Well, all four of them had sort of written about their faith struggles. All four of them had letters, correspondence, were highly visible. And all four of them sort of intersected in the 1960s, mid-70s. And so I thought that this would be a kind of interesting way of looking at how African Americans in general thought about faith and how these four specific people, two men, two women, looked at faith.
What's interesting about your approach to this book, each of the sections where you write about each of the people featured in this book, you share a personal story. So this book is as much a personal reflection of your experiences with Ethel Waters, Mary Lou Williams, Eldridge Cleaver, and Muhammad Ali as it is a scholarly reflection.
Yeah, I wanted to sort of write something that was accessible. And I was giving a talk about what I was doing once at a college, and one of the students said, well, your own story is as interesting, and why don't you include that in your book? And I said, well, I hadn't thought about it that way. And so this is how I came to think about these people. So, yes, I thought it was in the past, the two books I've written previously, I write them as a kind of distant historian. But I was writing this one as one that I very much entered into and was thinking about as these people were alive and well.
Let's start with Ethel Waters, which you lead your book off with. And I was familiar with Ethel Waters, but I was born in 1960, so I knew she was a singer. I knew she was famous at one time. But what I didn't know was the breadth of her skill as a performing artist. I didn't know that she was the second African-American nominated for an Oscar. I didn't know that she was the first African-American to head up a primetime show on network TV. So when you were first researching her, were these sort of the type of achievements she had? Were you very familiar with her versatility?
I would argue that she was Beyoncé before Beyoncé in her range of accomplishments, her selling of music, her stage, television. I mean, she was just an amazing performer, and I had no idea until I really started researching the book and researching her.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to KAZI Book Review on KAZI 88.7 FM. I'm Hope Ten Hay. My guest is Randall Maurice Jelks. We're talking about his new book, Faith and Struggle and the Lives of Four African Americans, Ethel Waters, Mary Lou Williams, Eldridge Cleaver, and Muhammad Ali. Now, you described the first time that you saw her. Your grandmother made you watch the Billy Graham Crusade, and you saw her performing.
My grandmother believed in religious TV then, and religious TV meant when I was born in 1956, that was Billy Graham, and there was a Catholic bishop, Bishop Fulton Sheen, and I had to watch both of them because, you know, that was considered good and moral, even though I once mentioned to my grandmother that Billy Graham had said the same thing the last time we heard him. She was none too pleased, and but that was considered good moral television, and sort of Billy Graham was considered by some as America's pastor. So he was on television. People stopped to watch the Crusades where whatever city he was operating from. And that was the first time I saw Ethel Waters opening up for him, singing His Eyes on Sparrow.
And His Eye is on the Sparrow is actually the name of an autobiography that she published that she co-wrote with Charles Samuel. And her faith, as you write in the book, is this melding of her grandmother's Catholicism and her mother's old-time religion.
Well, what's striking to me is that she has two biographies, and one a huge biography. But what is striking about my reading of her memoir is that all through her life, faith was a driving factor, the kind of factor that kept her sane. Now, I mean, she wasn't orthodox by any measure, but it was her faith that kept her sane. I also say, and I've had my students read His Eyes Are on the Sparrow, because it's one of the best biographies, I think, memoirs about Black performing and all the things that Black performers went through before the Civil Rights Movement. It's one of the really gems in that way. You get to be backstage with Ethel in many ways.
One of my favorite quotes that you pull, I believe, from her autobiography in the book, when she's reflecting, she writes, "We are close to this earth and to God, shut up in ghettos, sneered at, beaten, enslaved. We have always answered our oppressors with brave singing, dancing, and laughing." But here's the interesting thing. Her grandmother got her baptized as a Catholic, which her mother was not too happy with.
But they thought she was going to die, and the priest was able to come. And her grandmother thought, really, that, you know, the Catholics were more upwardly mobile than old-time Black folks' religion. So, you know, there was always a tension between her grandmother and her mother.
Interesting. I want to go and cross over to Mary Lou Williams, because Mary Lou Williams, who I had not heard of, I'm embarrassed to say, was a famous pianist and wrote compositions performed by people like Duke Ellington. And she chose Catholicism. And let me find this quote here from Mary Lou Williams. Basically, Mary Lou Williams was not very enchanted by charismatic Black preacher types.
I think Mary Lou found the kind of, for her, and many other Black people, found for her that Catholic spirituality spoke to her life in a way that the church that she was familiar with, the churches that she had early as a little girl performed in, did not speak to her. One of the interesting things is that she joined a famous parish in Harlem, St. Lourdes, and she compares that to Abyssinian Baptist Church, is that the doors were always open, so you could go in and pray. And that kind of access and spirituality was really important for her.
Now, would you say that when we go back to Ethel Waters, that this was sort of her march onward forward in terms of her faith was always developing, whereas Mary Lou Williams really ran into an existential crisis in the early 1950s and literally stopped performing and had to work her way back.
It's Dizzy Gillespie who encourages her to come back. And Gillespie himself was a Catholic. And so, you know, religion played a great deal of role in jazz, whether one was a Muslim or one was a Catholic. So that religion was all around people's lives in some capacity or another. And during the Great Migration, many people who went to cities like Chicago left their former churches where their parents might have grown up or grandparents and joined the Catholic Church or another form of faith.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to KAZI Book Review on KAZI 88.7 FM. I'm Hopeton Hay. My guest is Randall Maurice Jelks. We're talking about his new book, Faith and Struggle in the Lives of Four African Americans, Ethel Waters, Mary Lou Williams, Aldrich Cleaver, and Muhammad Ali. Now, unlike Ethel Waters, who wrote an autobiography about her faith, Mary Lou Williams actually composed an album and composed masses. So she expressed her faith through the music that she was composing. Right. In particular, she composed a song to celebrate the canonization of Martin de Porres in 1962. Yeah. Saint Martin de Porres, who was a priest who was half African. And that was part of her album, Black Christ of the Andes, which was released in 1964. So she found expression of her faith through her music.
I think in both cases, both women found faith through their music. One of the things I want to say about Ethel Waters, although she was never Orthodox with any kind of church, she supported a Carmelite monastery in Allentown, Pennsylvania, until her death. So the Catholicism still ran strong with her as well. I do want to say this about her. She opens up for Billy Graham the only time that Martin Luther King Jr. and Billy Graham are on stage together. To me, that's a star seizing the moment in many ways.
What's unique for me about Mary Lou Williams is she was a great musician, while great black women jazz singers, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, we know about them. What we don't know about in the general public knowledge of great jazz musicians is of the great female jazz musicians, to what extent this gender bias kept her from getting the type of acclaim that she deserved or the credit for her compositions.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that always kept her from getting acclaim. Not only her, other women jazz musicians like the great trombonist and composer Melba Liston. Lots of women who were Hazel Scott, who were instrumentalists, got get the attention that the males got because jazz was seen as a masculine performer. So everybody would compare how Mary Lou played the piano to she played like a man rather than she played like Mary Lou and so forth because she had a heavy percussive piano sound at times, and her blues were meticulous.
Well, the interesting thing about Father Peter O'Brien, her late manager, he observed that Williams, in placing Black and Christ together in one electrifying phrase, Black Christ, unified her own religious belief with the political struggle of the period. This album is a statement of her intertwined beliefs about faith in God, faith in Black people, faith in America, and faith in jazz. So the movement, in addition to her belief in God, was all part and parcel of the music she was creating after going through her existential crisis.
That's correct. I mean, the movement is surrounding all four of the figures in here. They are giving different kinds of religious voices to that.
And Aldrich Cleaver, and we'll get to Muhammad Ali last, but Aldrich Cleaver, Soul on Fire, There's a point where you talk about, you say elders never found the correct formula for building a strong Black community within the bounds of a faith. His faiths have been Catholic, Islam, Marxist, American Evangelical, and Mormon. And they all disappointed him. And you talk about Soul on Fire that to some degree, he wanted to be the Charles Colson, who was the former Richard Nixon aide who wrote a book that sold 5 million copies, Born Again. And he was hoping that Soul on Fire would take off. So to some degree, there is this desire to make money from this conversion.
Sure. Of course. I don't think that's separated from Charles Colson. I have a desire to make money. I want to back up because in 1968-69, when Random House published first kind of memoir out of prison, Soul on Ice, it sells roughly 2 million copies. And by the late 60s, Eldridge is a celebrity, if nothing else. And I don't use that negatively. I think he was trying to fight for this, but he and his wife, attorney wife, Kathleen Cleaver, would be pictured on every posters with the big afro. So he was really a celebrity, and he had there was a Eldridge Cleaver for president. And Gordon Parks had shot him, the great great Black photographer. So I imagine that. Trying to come back from Europe after being in exile, he was also seeking that same kind of celebrity, and now the celebrities have become the evangelicals.
He gave a speech at the University of Houston, and the author, Attica Locke, who grew up in Houston, and her parents were part of the movement, and the movement meaning people who were fighting for the rights of African Americans, especially during from the 1950s to the 1960s to 1970s, looking at various ways to make sure that African Americans continue to fight for their freedom. But she actually has in her book, her first novel, Blackwater Rising, which was published in 2009, she actually has in there a scene of Eldridge Cleaver speaking at a Black student organization meeting at the University of Houston. And her mother, who I believe was actually there when that happened, said that she recreated that scene in a manner that gave her goosebumps.
Wow, wow. I wish I would have known, you know, when you're writing a book, there's so many resources out there, and I wish I had known that that book at the time. Eldridge is deserving of a major biography on its own. There has not, to my knowledge, been one because he was such an interesting character out of the pages of the movement. But one of the things that I was trying to get over, if you pay attention and go back and reread. Beginning with Soul on Ice, how much he talks about religion and how much religion is important to him all through his journey. And this is the point that I was trying to lift up, that while you may not agree with how he pictures his own religion, it's been there from the beginning. His forays while in juvenile detention with Catholicism, his coming to Islam, his trying to understand religious institutions and the structures, too, was very important for him in sort of community building. So I thought this was very, very interesting. And, of course, I was in college when Eldridge was coming back to the United States. So I was quite smitten and fascinated with his own challenge to try to recreate his life in a new America, the 1970s America, which was dominated by American evangelicals, as I try to point out in the book.
Well, how can you have a movement without taking into consideration the role of religion and Christianity in one way or another? And when you get to Muhammad Ali and his decision to join the Nation of Islam, you talk about you and your friends when you were young, leading up to the 1964 match between Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston, which my peers would relate that to the match between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman.
What's interesting to me is my uncle was going to watch the match, and I remember just the conversation as a kid that they were talking about his religious conversion at the end. And that upset them equally as much as I think they lost money on betting against him. So even though many people didn't go to church themselves or were very religious, somehow the culture, they thought it violated what our culture was.
And Floyd Patterson, I mean, the way Floyd Patterson co-writing an article about how he will destroy Muhammad Ali, who had converted to Roman Catholicism, and took it as a personal affront, which was very, very interesting. Floyd Patterson's take on Muhammad Ali joining the Nation of Islam.
Right, right. You know, Patterson in the 1950s, like Mary Lou, found a spiritual solace in the Roman Catholic Church, but he believed that the Nation of Islam was just a shady operation, wasn't really religious, and so he took it upon himself to write an article in Sports Illustrated, of all places, and say those things. I found that one of my former graduate students had pointed that article out to me, and I found that I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a form of bringing the Crusades into the boxing ring. But I found that it was just fascinating that people didn't think about the kind of ways that religious operations operated in these fights, and many of Ali's fights. This was also about upholding his right to be a Muslim.
What was it about the Nation of Islam that he did not find in the Baptist community in which he was reared?
Growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, Louisville was polite Jim Crow, but it was still Jim Crow. And it was humiliation of the Jim Crow world, the sense that black people had to be deferential to white people. What kind of religion would say that you have to be deferential if you are supposedly all brothers and sisters? And so he found that Mr. Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's faith teaching, well, it suited him more. It gave him a sense of dignity and dignity as a male more than he thought the kind of ways that Christianity was imparted to him.
What I like about your book is that by showing how these four African Americans struggled and how their faith helped to sustain them and helped to move them, but they were imperfect people with issues and challenges and problems. And so the reader, because sometimes one may think, okay, when you're struggling in your faith, you're expecting some sort of moral perfection.
Right. And no faith expects moral perfection. And one of the reasons I wanted to open each one of them up, I mean, clearly Ms. Waters was bisexual, and I argue more a lesbian. Each one of these people have Eldridge Cleaver spent a great deal of his life in jail before coming out. So sexuality in prison is mainly homosexuality, even though he was a great critic of it. And, you know, like the Shakespeare line from Macbeth, thou protested too much. So I wanted to sort of draw that these people all were struggling with some dimension of their lives. Ali was wanted to be a good Muslim, but was a terrible husband at times. And so I just thought that it would be more in keeping with some kind of honesty about these people and an honesty to myself. The religion, as I open up the book, is doesn't protect you from struggles of life. And so the hope is that they give you some sense of consciousness, some sense of ethics about what you should live. but it is always struggling to negotiate as a human being what your faith is, what your actual practices are. And that's true from Martin Luther King Jr. to Malcolm X, the other great figures that we know. I mean, they're all struggling. And that's why the title was Faith and Struggle, because it was not only the greatest struggle for Black rights, but their own struggle as just individuals.
And the last person I'm going to quote from the book is you. And you got to answer this question. You say that coolness was an epistemology. Could one be intellectual, cool, and faithful at the same time?
Well, that was certainly a question when I was a college student, and perhaps it is still for college students today. What could one down for the struggle, and could one be faithful to a Christian spirituality at the same time? And these were the kinds of questions, at least in my college era, people were asking, and particularly men, I'd say. So this is the really important kinds of questions that surrounded me. And I was, I was a sort of before that term nerd became popular, I was one of these nerdy Black kids reading books and thinking about these questions that surrounded Black life.
Now, I did go and listen to Mary Lou Williams' Praise the Lord after you referenced the first time hearing it. And I got to confess that I tapped my feet and slapped my thigh to the rhythm of the song.
Yeah, well, that's what I was like, who is this? And because I was a big, because it was cool to be a jazz person in the 70s. Not, you'd like funk and all the other music, but to be jazz, you were for a Black male, you know, that was like the height of intellectualism. You could name, you know, jazz musicians. You were considered a kind of intellectual giant.
Randall Maurice Jelks, author of Faith and Struggle and the Lives of Four African Americans, Ethel Waters, Mary Lou Williams, Eldridge Cleaver, and Muhammad Ali. Thanks for being a guest on KEZI Book Review.
Thank you so much for having me once again.